Heavenly Father in heaven, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we have set aside for us, O Lord, that we can gather together to come, fellowship, Lord, worship, and to hear your word. Father, we know the world's condition is in a bad shape and it's going to get worse and worse every day. No doubt, Father, young people may not realize because they are looking to a utopia world that will never exist. They are looking at things, oh Lord, in this life that could make life easy for them. There is the technology, Father, with all its speediness, oh Lord, to get information, oh Lord, for the world. And young people are getting all into it, Lord. But we know, Father, when men build, men will destroy. With the very same thing that they have built for something to do, for a better life. But Lord, we know when men discover gunpowders, when men discover, Lord, combustion, when then men discover how to fly. Today we see, oh Lord, the very technology, the thing that they have discovered, the invention, the discovery, have led to many deaths and many wars. Lord, this world is not getting any better. We know, for thy word have prophesied that before you come, Lord Jesus, to set up your kingdom, mankind will face a terrible period of disaster and death and war and killing, famine, pestilences. There will be earthquakes. The sea will be rolling. And we see all these things already, Father, for many decades, and it's building up and getting worse and worse. But Lord, there is a people that you have called by thy name, by your gospel, Lord, that they may be saved. So we thank you, Father, for today, to be able, Lord, to look at your word and to understand of your plan and your purpose, O Lord, for humanity. And we ask for your grace right now, then, as we approach thy word to learn. We pray, dear Lord, that thing, all that which we learn, Father, we may keep in our hearts, Father, and believe whatever you say, Lord, as you reveal it to us. And that we keep in our heart, Father, Lord, and walk in the light that we have received. We ask for your grace today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Now, on recap, and then we'll continue to go on with our series on the trail of the serpent. And perhaps for our comers, our visitors in Bahamia will not understand we talk about the trail of the serpent. For those of us who have been on, just recap a little, just go to the book of Genesis, and I think that there's extra Bible there outside. If those of you need Bible to look at. Alright? The book of Genesis. Just quickly recap, of course, we all understand that when God created the heavens and the earth, and then he put all that which he desired to create, living things on this earth. We have the plants, we have the animal, we have the insect, we have the birds, and then God put man on this earth, and not only man on this earth, but there was a creature we all know that Adam called him serpent. And oh, we just want to make you to remember this, what serpent sounds like always to many people, it's a snake. But a serpent is not a snake. Alright, just a name for a creature. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Alright, it's just like calling a well, you know, when we say the word serpent, we are thinking about a snake. But you know, if we say Or we call somebody, a human being, a person we don't like, say, you're a dog. That's a dog. Or he's a monkey. Now, you know what that means, right? He's a monkey. Just because he climbs trees and he swings like trees, the boy is a monkey. I mean, just giving us the image that he's swinging from tree like a monkey. You know, so then words are like that. So originally we know that the serpent was an upright living creature, very much like man, but not created in the image of God. Alright, and so he was to be a servant to Adam and Eve. But we know how that God allows certain things to happen because it is his plan, like we said this already, that it is God's sovereignty. And we sometimes don't think much about God's sovereignty. We think that we always want God to do things according to what we want him to do. Or we think that that should be the way that he should do. You know? I think in the world today, especially when I see the condition of the world today, and I feel, I say, oh, if God would only just do that, get rid of the ISIS, get rid of the jihadists, you know? You know, you get frustrated because of the problem that there is. You know, but God is not going to do that, because God had already a plan and a purpose ordained before the foundation of the world. You know, and he allowed man to be on this earth for 6,000 years, and he's going to close up and bring the kingdom of Christ on this earth. So, then when we understand that God allows this sin to come, and it was God's purpose, God did not force it, but God put in such a situation, knowing that man will fall. As the Bible tells us, that God did not force it, but it was the purpose of God, so that out of it, God may bring in a better creation. You see? Because this body that we have today is corrupt, as we know. But Adam's body was not corrupt. He could live forever. But that's not God's intention for that natural body to live forever. He wants a better body for special people. A body that's spiritual, that can go to war, goes to any dimension, without any hindrance. Like the angels could. But angels do not have a body. Just a spirit body, not a physical body. They say angels could not hold things with their hands, unless they materialize and have a body of dust, which we will call a theophany form. So here we have, of course, the temptation came in to Eve, and the serpent got into the fornication with Eve and gave birth to Cain. And then, of course, Adam slept with his wife, and the wife gave birth to Abel. And we know that what happened was that Cain killed Abel, and now we realize then that there were two lines, two lineages. And that's why Eve was called the mother of all living. Now, the Bible is very clear already for us to know this. Adam's wife was never called Eve until after the fall came. Right? The man was called Ish. The woman was called Isha, as husband and wife. That's what the difference is. But they were just called Adam, means mankind. There was no name given yet to the woman. Right? So it was only after the fall that the Bible said that Adam then called his wife Eve now. You see? Which means the mother of all living. So she is the mother of all living, obviously, because she gave birth to Cain and Abel. Cain was the seed of the serpent, and Eve, I mean, and then Abel was the seed of Adam. Now, the thing is this, the Bible is clear. I want you to look at this verse again just to recap. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. Alright, in chapter 4, alright, in chapter 4, here we have got judgment upon the serpent. In verse 14, and the Lord said unto the serpent, because you have done this, thou art cursed above all creatures, all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly you shall go, and thou shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now, when the Bible said to the serpent. When God said to the serpent, I'll put enmity between thy seed. Now they tell us that the serpent had a seed. And the people doesn't want to believe in it. They said, cannot be. If God said, I'll put enmity between you and the woman. Now, how many of you women, sisters, love snake? How many of you? Come on. Like to perhaps go to a zoo and carry the snake in your hand? How many of you likes it? Sister Eunice, you like it? No, I don't think so. No, usually people don't like it because there is an aversion. Huh? You see a snake like this ready and the tongue sticking out like that, you don't kind of like it. Especially when it looks slimy. You know, shimmering or slimy. So there is an aversion, especially in a woman, most women don't like it. You know, so when God said, I put enmity between you and the woman, and God already cursed the serpent, was an upright creature like man, became among the family of snakes now. So out there in the snake family, you get a serpent out there. We don't know how you look like. But it looked like that suddenly become a snake among those family. The thing is, right now is this. When the Bible said, I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. The woman had a seed. Now, Eve was the wife of Adam. If a man and a woman are married and the child was born, whose seed is that? He said the seed of man. Right? But without the woman, you cannot have him. You cannot have that child. Correct? You need a woman. Because that's why you planted that in her womb. And then the child came out. And that child belongs to not only the man, but it also belongs to the woman. Yeah, only the lineage is count in the sight of the man. So in Eve, the woman had a seed, and that seed was Abel. Then serpent had a seed. What seed is that? What was the name of that seed of the serpent? And that's Cain. And that's why Cain killed Abel. And now we know that Jesus said, when he came, when he talked to the religious people, say, you are just like your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. Right? And he lied. That's true. You see, because Satan was a liar. He was the father of lies, as the Bible said. From the very beginning, even before he was in the Garden of Eden, he already lied to God. He already caused all the animals to kill, the dinosaurs and all that stuff. All the Bible, by Bible, have all this knowledge hidden here. And science are still digging it out and trying to find the answer. Alright, so if that's the seed of the serpent, and that's the seed of the woman, and of course, prophetically, it's also, it speaks of Christ, the seed of the woman, because a virgin shall conceive. That becomes very impossible for the scientists to believe. How could a woman who had never known a man, a virgin, to conceive? And that's why it's called a virgin birth, a miraculous birth, only God could perform. Huh? Right? Of course, a lot of people don't find hard to believe in miracles like this. But till today, you see how they even scientists could clone. Huh? You listen, what happened recently? I saw in the paper report that, I don't know, was it in Hong Kong or some place that the scientists have taken the skin itself, not the stem cell, the skin of a rat or a mouse, and clone it into another one. And my goodness, how do you get that? Not from a stem cell, but the skin, a skin cell. And now, you know, the scientists are wondering, what's going on? You see, can man clone a man from a skin? May not be possible. From a stem cell, may be possible. Like the clone Dolly. Remember that Dolly, the sheep? Huh? Our stem cell. Now, we are living in a world that men begin to discover. Just like in the beginning, in the fall, as God said to the angel, man has become like us, knowing good and evil. And God said, we don't even know what they're going to do. But of course, God knew already the end from the beginning. But he allows the thing to play out. Because he's going to collect the people and change their body into a spiritual body, a glorified body. This world is only a temporary thing. The whole universe that you see, they're all created. It doesn't exist by itself. We know that. Prove to me God, people ask. Scientists go to the internet and you find out how that even a lot of scientists have already changed their mind. Even many scientists have become Christian because they know. Even Stephen Hawking, you know, the man who is, Stephen Hawking, they call him the brainiest person on earth. Though he doesn't still want to believe in it, because in his trap, he cannot even answer his own question about the singularity, the beginning of life, where they come from. Everything is going to the singularity. He knows that. But where did the singularity come from? And who is that singularity? If that thing doesn't begin, he and I will not be here. And don't ask questions like, who made God? Then you've got to ask God when you appear before him. Because if it doesn't exist, we don't exist. I know I am because he is. If he is not, then I am not. That's a fact. You see? So religion is not for, well, you know, there are all kinds of religion, but here we are not talking about just any religion. We are talking about the very religion that God instituted in the very beginning to reconcile back to himself, to make them be obedient to his word. No, man want to do whatever they want. So that's why the Satan came along, get to the Garden of Eden through the serpent, get him to fornicate with Eve and produce the seed of the serpent. And that's what we see now. After that, there are two lines. Okay, now you go over to the book of Genesis 5. Here we see in Genesis 5, the beginning of it. Sermon and message that we're dealt with on the subtitle of the serpent, we ended up here around chapter 4 and 5. And we know that chapter 4 is when we look at is the lineage of the Canaanite line. Alright? And we have already dealt with how that Lamech, and now what I said is, the Lamech was the one, as you look in chapter 4, verse 18. Oh, we'll say verse 19. Chapter 4, verse 19. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Ada, the name of the other was Zillah. So we realize that Lamech, now this is Lamech, the descendant from Cain's line. And the Bible ends with his name, having, you know, a record that says that he married two women. This is the first time that polygamy or polygamous marriage was instituted. It was not instituted by God. God did not start polygamous marriage. Because, you know, if you look into a religion like a Mormon, they allow more than one wife. But there are some Mormon, they are split in Mormon denomination too. Some of them do not allow it. But you see, the thing is that there are people in the end time message believe that keep on insisting that God was the one who instituted polygamous marriage. No. Do you know why it cannot be? Because when you look, when God created Adam and then he brought Eve out from his side and presented Eve, Adam already said this: thou art bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and join to his wife, and they both shall be one flesh. Now if what he said is true, then we realize that there cannot be another woman. That's why Adam himself knew that when Eve sinned against Allah, he had to do something to restore her back to himself, or else he will be the only person living on earth forever, because God would destroy Eve. You know, God is not going to give him another wife. No. Only one man, one wife. Until death do you part. Simple as that. But here we still have a lot of foolish people that say, no, God instituted polygamous marriage. Lamech was the one, for goodness sake, understand it. But later on, God allows men to have another wife, or even as many as they want, to show the foolishness in the man. You know, why did God not give Adam another wife? Give him, you know, create instead of just one woman from his side, why don't create one from one side, left side and one on the right side? Huh? And you know what? I tell you something. I believe God knows that it's not easy for a man to handle two women. Huh? You know, it's already you have it. I know, you know what I mean? Because Bible already tells us you're one to one. That the oneness is so important. You know, you have maybe two wives, look like all some other religion, like Africa, for example, the chief in the village. You know, you can have as many wives as one. In some religion, you can have four or five, seven wives or whatever, some two virgin or whatever. You know, you have so many wives, what do you do? You want to propagate your seed to have thousands of them? Huh? I know, the man who have more than, I think the man who has the most wives that is recorded in the Bible is Solomon. You know, he gave him a headache. Because every wife wants his attention. Huh? If you consider if you have 1,000 wives, there are 365 days in a year. Huh? To have 1,000 wives, you have to take almost three years to pay attention, at least spend one day with a wife. And every wife of Solomon are foreign wives. And they want Solomon to build temples to their own God. An Egyptian wife, an Ethiopian wife, a Persian wife, all from different countries, from different religions, and Solomon just loved them. You know, a lot of people said, I love women. Actually, one of the things is that they love sex more than they love women. Actually, God only gave Adam only one woman. But people today, there are a lot of other, there's perversion going on in their head, in their spirit today. Now people may not be, today we see a lot of transgender, you know that, right? Correct? Now there is some problem with the, you know how our cells are divided. Huh? Every one of us, when we are a little baby, little fetus, when we are formed as a fetus, we are all female. Because it's a formation of cells, how the cell were already programmed to divide. But because many times, there is a genetic flaw. That's why people are born defective. Right? It's not a flaw in the creation of God. It's a flaw because of what happened in the garden. And God allows it. And some people say, I don't believe in God because God allowed people to suffer. Huh? Do you know how much God suffered? You talk about we suffering. You see, the thing is, a lot of people, we always look, we are so short-sighted. That we don't like what we see. We don't like pain. We don't like suffering. And we blame it everything on God. And we don't believe in God. And if you say there's no God, I'm not saying there's no God. Well, because you're upset. But let's think for a moment. If you don't have God, then where do you come from? Where do you exist? You know, our former Prime Minister, Lee Kuan Yew, he's a man honest enough and sincere enough to say, he said, I know there is a God, but I don't know what to believe. You know, he was from a Christian background, but then he became, you know, he studied Confucianism and he likes it. He was honored enough to say that. Let him do whatever he wants, I guess. There are many people who say, yeah, let God do whatever he wants. But because they see suffering, maybe family suffering. And I guess that if you have children and your children, little ones suffer a lot, born up and suffer. What do you think? I mean, there have been a lot of movies made where parents were so upset and cursed God because the child was suffering, you know, and all that thing. Yeah, when we are suffering, we always don't like it. We blame it on God. We blame it on everybody else, perhaps. But when everything goes fine, no problem, children are healthy, we live to a 90, 100 year old, you know, everything, we have houses, we have cars, we have everything. Thank God, this is real. You know, that's what we do. We are happy because everything goes our way. We're not happy when things doesn't go our way. And this is exactly what is true. God is just letting things be as it is and letting it move on. Because he already foresaw the end from the beginning, what will be the result. And he's working all the way to bring out a people for himself. And the whole world will change. Right. So now we see this here that Lamech was now introduced polygamy and bringing to destroy God's plan of one man, one wife. Alright? So now when we look into chapter 5, here we see chapter 5 of Genesis, the descendants of Adam. And it records all the way down from chapter 5, verse 1 onward, and until it comes to verse 30. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years and he died. And Noah was 500 years old and Noah begat Shem, Ham and Japheth. So now we add the genealogy ended with Noah. Now all these lists of names in chapter 4 and chapter 5, they are the name of the firstborn, because God deal with only the firstborn. Because the firstborn son is the one that inherit the father's inheritance. Alright? So all the firstborn may have other brothers and other sisters. They may have 10, 20 brothers and sisters. Okay? But God doesn't deal with that. He only wants to follow a lineage of the firstborn. To hold their bloodline. That's why even today, the traditions of the Asian people especially, we are very particular with our firstborn son. If some family is not happy when the firstborn child is a girl, they want to try it again. And then they get four or five girls, they are very unhappy. They probably marry another wife, like the Chinese people doing from China. To get another wife so that the second one, maybe the second one will give him a son. And they'll put the blame on the first wife because maybe her gene is not so good. She only produce girls for me. You know. So the idea of the firstborn is important because it carried down also to us in Christian faith regarding the firstborn of God, which is Christ. Because he was the firstborn among many brethren and the rest of us are follow after. From the seed of God. Alright, so now when we look into the chapter 5, then we see the lineage. And we already discussed the previous, last discussion of the mixture of the two seed line. Okay? Now, when we look into chapter 6, we know that the first person to have to cross over in taking another woman from the other side was Lamech. Okay? Lamech was the one who took two wives, one a servant wife, the other a king wife. He was the first one to do that. But there was no record of anything else. But now in chapter 6, where we want to carry from here. Alright. Chapter 6 of Genesis. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and took them wives of all that they chose. And God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. So now, it came to pass, means they come to a certain period of time when men began to multiply. Alright? So men here means mankind. They began to multiply. The Canaanite multiply. The Setite multiply. Okay? Yeah, there might be just some people from the Canaanite side took one of the women from the Setite. The Bible didn't say much about it. But now it mentioned, it must have been quite some time now, maybe two generations from the time of Enos, that it says here specifically in verse 2, the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Now, God specifically said that very clearly. He didn't say that the son of man took the daughters of God. He said the sons of God took the daughters of men. Now the sons of God here refers to the Satan people, not the angels. Now we all know, we know this now. Denomination got themselves messed up. They think the word sons of God here referring to fallen angels who came down to the earth. And even Hollywood make movies like that. That is fallen angels, they came down and they pressed into man. Oh, I mean, pressed into natural man. That means they possess them. And then they have sexual intercourse with the woman of the earth. And then they produce giants. Because Hebrew words are always sounds very mysterious to a lot of people. Nephilim. Nephilim sounds like, wow. You know, some strange creature, outer space creature, the alien. Raphaim. You know. So they always think about that. But that's the Bible word. Salafim. Seraphim. Nephilim. Raphaim. Zim. You know. Sasuim. All these even means is just plurality. Or the manifest of what you call the majesty of what things is. So, the way that people are interpreting, because, you know, they do not know what the Hebrew words are referring to, and they have all this imagined not understanding. But the Bible uses the word sons of God, it refers to those that have a relationship with God, as father and son. That's why we all call sons of God. If you believe in the Lord God Almighty as your Savior, as your Father, then He is your Father and we are His children. We are called sons and daughters of God. Because we have a relationship. And whenever you use the word son, obviously the mess talk about procreation. Huh? I'm a father. He's my son. So I am my son. Where did he come from? He came from me. And if he married, he could also propagate. That's why there is, when you said father-son, means there is a relationship, and a father can produce a son, and the son later on can become a father and produce a son, and go on down the line. But angels can never done that, can never do that. Angels are spirits, and Jesus Christ said, they do not merit. Huh? They cannot merit, because they're neutral gender. They're just spirits. But today that's what they say. For an angel spirit came down and then possessed man or transformed themselves into man and then have sex with woman of the earth and produce giant. That's scary when you tell me it's just like telling a fantasy story. Yeah. But here the Bible said the sons of God, the static people, they descend from Adam's line. They began to look at the woman or the daughters of men. The daughters of men is that title, the word, the tag to the natural woman that belongs to the Canaan line. So there were two lines. Now today, it is very clear. I do not know about the Indians. I do not know, you know, how much the Indian holds to their tradition. As you all know, I mean, today, of course, quite different. But if you go back, maybe in my time, my father's generation, okay? Alright, if you go back to my father's generation, I have been hearing when from neighbors or even relatives, when they see a Chinese man going out with an Indian woman, huh? And girlfriend boyfriend relationship, they will speak, they will whisper, they will gossip. That's no good, that's no good. Why does this Chinese person marry the Indian? You know? But, on the other hand, if a Chinese woman were to marry a white man, there's something special, man. That's a status. My daughter married a white man, you know. An American, you know. You ever heard about this thing? Yes. In my days, my father's generation when I was a child, I heard it so often. They're so proud when their daughter marries some white man. But they're very sad when their daughter married a black man. What is that? Is it a caste system? Black are low and white are high? And we yellow people, we Chinese in between? That's all sorts of things that's been going on. Now look at the Filipino people. You know, there are so many, huh? I mean, the Chinese were there, the Portuguese were there, the Spanish were there, the Americans were there. What are the Dutch were there? What? There's so many mixtures. Maybe one person contains all those in their gene. So what then? Today, it is very hard for many men or women. I mean, for us maybe, for me maybe. I could say, I'm Chinese, yeah. My father came from China. You know, I just believe that my father, yeah, he's a pure Chinese. Okay. Right. How we know? As I said, we might have been mixed. My father, great-great-grandfather might have been from, I don't know where, mixed with. And today we call, you know, we say things like, you know when a person who is born, when a child is born of an unholy wedlock, okay? What do we call that? We call him a bastard. Is that right? It sounds bad, huh? You're a bastard. It sounds a very terrible word. But it just means that a mother and father, where he comes from, where the child came from, they were not but really in love. You know, it just may be that the man, the father might have visited a prostitute and the prostitute got pregnant and the prostitute gave birth to him, to the little boy. And the poor boy, people call him bastard. What about in the Chinese word called zhapcheng? You heard about the word zhapcheng? I guess you heard about it, huh? What is zhapcheng? Is zhapcheng equal to bastard? No. Zhapcheng is not working about. Zhapcheng means that, well, 10 kind of races are already mixed like salad. He's a salad. You know me? You know what I'm saying? That means, okay, there are a lot of people that are zhapcheng. Because we all, for all we know, how many people are salad. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. Go to Europe. You know, maybe a man who looks like he's white, you know, he may be from a background of Norwegian, and maybe a background of some Spanish from somewhere. May have some Viking blood. Or maybe even have the Mediterranean blood in him also. You know what I mean? Today, you can't really tell. Like as I say, in the Philippines, there are some Filipino. You know, you look at them, you know that they have Portuguese blood, Spanish blood, and whatever other blood. But then we do not know how far back the parents, how mixed they were. You see. And one thing for sure, we Christians cannot be a racist. Remember this. Because where this race come from? It all came from the three sons of Noah. They all came from one blood. And that's why some people say, like Jehovah's Witnesses or some other religion, they don't want to take the blood of somebody else. Huh? Or they even say like the KKK or the racist people out there in certain country, they look down upon the Negro as being the low caste people. But you know, when they are in trouble, and they are dying, and there's no blood in the blood bank. Huh? But there are people who are black men outside who is willing to donate blood. Will he take it? What blood that flows into the white man and flows in the black man? They all came from God. Only the factors of the Rh factor, whether it's B plus, B, C, or, you know, all this AB blood group, that's all. If a white man is A and the black man is A, the white man, if he wants to survive and there's no white blood for him, and the blood has only one color, it's neither white nor black. It's always red. You see. So, this is what it's all about. And people doesn't know. So when we read this here, God put the blame on the sons of God, the Satite, for crossing over and married the woman from the other side. And what happened? That's the serpent seed line. And God doesn't want the people to corrupt themselves. But what happened? You got all this mixture. And so Noah was the last of it. The pure line ended with Noah. That's why he says Noah gave birth to his three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth, because his wife was from the other land, Naaman. And then the Bible tells us later on that the whole earth will be populated by the three sons of Noah. And we all came from the three sons of Noah. We do not come from Adam. Because we are Adamic kind. Oh, not right. We are all from Noahic line. It was from his blood and his wife's blood were in the three sons. That's why the Bible talks about the whole nation of the world. Everyone came from the one blood of Noah and his wife. That's right. So whether you are Shem, Ham, or Japheth, we all came from there. But God put this blame on them. And he says here in verse 3, God said, my spirit shall not always strive in man. You see, God, how did God strive in man even today? But God has to let it go. Not going to strive in man anymore. Because there are times to cut, God is going to cut short and bring everything to a close. But at that time, man could live hundreds of years. The oldest man is 969 years old, Methuselah. They could live. And but God said to Adam, the day that you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. And you know, to God, one day is like 1,000 years. And in fact, the very day when Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord, they died. Spiritually, the veil of God was taken away from them. They realized they were sinful. That's why they covered their private parts. Why did they cover their private parts? Interesting, isn't it? Why the private parts? If it is a fruit from a tree, they should cover their mouth. And this is a mystery the denomination do not understand. They say it's an apple, or a pear, or a passion fruit. Maybe it's a durian. You know? But of course, it's not a fruit from a tree. It's only a figure of this presentation to hide the truth. But when we study, we realize what he partook of sex, a forbidden fruit, like a man who is not married and a woman, a young girl who is not married, they go around and fornicate. That's forbidden. You only do that when you are husband and wife. And yet there are a lot of young people who don't know what they're doing. And first batch in America, 13 years old girl, just in high school, beginning high school, many of them. You know what they call it? Supomo. And, you know, they have all these fine names for different grades. Huh? You know what he used, right? Supomo. Supomo. And then the other one he called Junior. Yeah, they all have to use all these very nice words. I thought soprano or something like that. You know, they named all these. So, the young girls, you know, whether they are 30, 40, 15, and they go and no, they mix school and they go out and have all this sexual thing going on. And young girls get pregnant. In America, it's very common. Even now in Africa. There's a lot of child was born off unholy wedlock. And the boy would just leave and this young girl is left with carrying the baby. How terrible that is. And sometimes they do not know, they go to a prostitute and then what happens? They get STD. STD, venereal disease. But if they don't know, realize that it's STD, they might have got spirochetes, and they end up with as a GPI, general paralysis of the insane, and they are forever paralyzed. All this doing around with all these things that they are doing. Huh. So, when we look into the Bible right now, we see there is that God cannot strive in man. Even at that time, they can live hundreds of years. But God said, I will cut down their life to 120 years. Now, this was in the days back written by Moses. Huh? Back. How many years ago? 4,000 years ago. Moses wrote this. Record what God was saying. Is it not true today that man can live around 120 years, if they can have good health? How many people in the world today can live up to 120 years? There are some, by good health, they live 135. I was thinking there was a record like this. The one in Indonesia claimed to have that, but I don't know whether because there was no real proof. Huh? But there are those that live past 120 years. Not many people live up to 120. Not even, many of us not even live up to 100. Only in Japan, you can see. There are many of them live past 100. They are centenarians. And still working very strong because of the healthy food they eat. But in Singapore, how many have you seen that live up to 100? Huh? By the time many of us are 50, 60 years old, we're already complaining of prickliness in our body. Our joint has all this kind of pricking noise, like an oiled door, hinge of the door. Huh? Every time we move, you know, right? And our body are sickly, right? But God said, I will cut it down. And so God did. And He says that there were, verse 4, there were giants in those days in the earth. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were all men of renown. So in this we understand that because the subject people known as sons of God, they cross over and married this group of people, God doesn't want to mix the line. Because one is a pure line, the other one is a serpent line. It has a serpent blood in it. God wants to keep the line pure. But you know, oh my, the sons of God saw the woman over the other side. They are very beautiful. But if you look into all history, look into ancient scripture, ancient manuscript, they said that this woman from the other side, the Kenic people, they are very, you know, as the Bible shows us, they are very, very intelligent. Okay? And they discovered even how they, from the earth, they can make cosmetic. That's why the word cosmetic comes from the word cosmo, which means the earth, or the inhabited world. So they take the thing from the dust of the earth, and they make it into a paint. And they even know how to use the herbs of the field, like what we call in Indonesia, they have jamu, you know. How they, after a woman give birth, they will use those jamu, you know, out of this plant, and how they make that, and they rub the body, rub the tummy, and then make the body shrink back and firm as usual. I know some of you sisters use jamu after you give birth. You know, some people, they keep their finger, and so those cave people, they are very intelligent. They're inventors of musical instruments. They build cities and so on. You know, so these Celtic people, they were plain people. They were quite like plain Janes, you know. The man works in they take care of the animals. They were shepherds, they were herders, the cattle men. And of course, when they were out of the state, they probably have a little plot of land for vegetable. And these Kenic people, they were actually farmers. But as time goes on, when they discover and discovering a lot of things out of the metal, make them into weapons, into tools, they build cities. And when they become city dwellers, away from the farm, they become sophisticated. Now, in the world today, we see like in Africa and India. And those of you who have been to India, you go not there, just do a research. Mumbai, Delhi, Kolkata, Chennai, all the cities. Then you follow young people, just like present day Tokyo. In Japan, you look up there, I think those of you in Japan know, look at the farm. You can see only old men or old women working the farm. The younger ones, they want to go to the city because of technology. The limelight is there in the city. Oh my, that's good, there's a lot of entertainment right there, a lot of things to do in the city. So they move away from the farm into the city. That is what Kenic are. There were farmer ones that began to discover all these things on the metal and stones and whatever on the earth. They build city. And then they live in the city. And they become very sophisticated. Yeah, I remember in those days when I was young, back in the 50s, 60s, the church I went to, all the girls were very plain Jane. You know, they don't put on makeup and all these things, they dress nicely, you know. And especially now, when fashions of France and America started to catch up, miniskirt came in. Yeah, you remember, I don't know how many of you, Brother Henry, I don't know whether those of you in my age, around 50, 60 years old, do you remember there was one time that the bell-bottom trousers for the men came in? Have you seen bell-bottom? Oh my! I mean, it was a fashion, bell-bottom, you know, like sailor with the bell-bottom. It came in, you know, further changes because Europe, America dictate to the world. That's why America is trying to control the world. It's a great, one of the great evils of the present day generation. And when the people are influenced by stars and all this, they want to copy. Then from that bottom, you know, a woman with long skirts, suddenly string and all that, miniskirts, and then from miniskirts, these brows also go up and now show the belly button. Then fashion comes in with tattoos. You know, people put tattoos on it. You see a lot of footballers and sportsmen put tattoos and all this. What is that? Women are doing that as well. You see, they think that these are something nice to show off. They're very sophisticated. Then next factor, invent all this makeup and shishadows. All kinds of names. They start to put. So you get all of that things. I mean, that's what the Kenny people were doing until the man of the set time, they look at this woman, wow, you're so beautiful. I don't know whether you're ever, I told you this before. Years ago when I was in the 60s, I used to subscribe to Times Magazine, Newsweek, and Life Magazine. I loved just to read. I spent my money subscribing. And then there was this article, I think it was in Times Magazine, you know, written about by the woman Max Factor, who was behind this Max Factor thing. He said about, you know, one woman, you know, how did she introduce all this miniskirt with all the makeup. He said, what man would not love to have a little time in the afternoon with a sexy woman? You know? And then you want an article, they show a picture of a woman who have no makeup. And a picture of the same woman with the makeup. And you couldn't believe it. Because first of all, he's showing the woman with the makeup. You want on the page. So, wow, this woman is beautiful. Then turn the page. The woman without makeup says, what? You don't recognize her. You know, of course. As I used to tell people, you know, you marry a woman in the world is so beautiful without the makeup. And then the night of your marriage, you know, you wait in the bed for her to come in, and she came up from the toilet after she washed her face, and you say, who are you? How did you enter my home? You know, you see what I mean? Yeah, that is very true, because it's completely a different person. So because of this, God's, when the Satan crossed over, they married this Kenny woman, they produced giants. Not in the first generation. At least second or third generation. You appear. You see, you get these giants, tall men, and maybe very brainy, huh? Smart men, renowned. 8 feet, 9 feet high giants in those days. And they are very wicked. And that's what it is all about. When a person, they think that they are very smart and good looking and giant and all that, they will try to control the world. And they become very great, as the Bible said here. Verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of their heart, of his heart, was only evil continually. Just imagine. The wickedness of man was great, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, nonstop. Thinking. Nothing good come out from the thoughts. Huh. You know, Brian Andrew wrote a little, give a little sermon, about 15 minutes, and posted it on his website and on the YouTube, about the thoughts, about girding up your thoughts. So listen to it. That's true. Maybe that we just let our thoughts fly around, and you grab it and we entertain it. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and he grieves him at his heart. Now, it's kind of strange for the Bible to have written like this, that he repented the Lord that he should have created man. It's just an expression that God felt very, very grieved that He had created man and man become like this. It's just like a couple, they got married. They want a child, right? They want children. So they give birth to the first son and then second one. And now after 2-3 years, 5 years later, the son has become badly behaved. And sometimes maybe one parent might scold a child, "I regret I give birth to you." You know how they will express something like that? It's just out of frustration because of the pain that they were carrying. And the Lord said, "I will destroy man from whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts and the creeping things and the fowl of the air, for he repented me that I have made them." Noah was the only one who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So now, God is going to destroy this earth. And Noah was the only one that he found, you know, Noah found grace in God's eye. Noah was why was that so special about Noah? What about the rest of his cousin, uncle and auntie? You know, there was some type. But Noah lived the life that pleases God. You know. Yeah, God could have chosen anybody. Yeah, but God was always looking at people. Looking at our heart, we are looking at everybody's heart. See? And whether you find favor, it's just like Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, found favor. Yes, right. You know. Because the walk. That's why in the world today, God, the Spirit of God is moving. And the angels are going around looking and observing. And to God see what's going on, and if He finds, when someone wants to find favor in His eye, He will do something for that man. The Bible said, God said, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious." So even God wants to give you grace, He'll give you grace. It's God's choice. God is sovereign. He's the creator, He's the potter, we are the clay. Huh? That's why in the book of Job is so very interesting regarding why Job was done, you know, went through this suffering. Did Job do anything to warrant the suffering? No. The Bible says he was a righteous man, he has true evil, he feared God. Even when his children were doing the wrong thing, he took sacrifice and offered it to God. Right? Yes. But Satan was not happy about it. And he came to God and said, "Because you blessed him, that's why he did all this for you. Take away whatever he has and see what happened to him. He will curse you." You know. So Satan was challenging God to prove to God that Job was worshipping you, love you, because you blessed him. So God said, "Okay, go ahead, do whatever you want, but you don't touch his life." And you know the story of what happened. Everything that Job possessed were gone. All his property were gone. Just practically almost overnight. His children were gone. Him and his wife alone. On top of that, there were boils on his body. Big boils. You know boils, or carbuncles. All over his body. He can't even lie down. He can't even sit down. Unless there is a pile of ashes to soften his like cushion. For how many days did he suffer? For how many months did he suffer? And you have friends of his came along and told him, "Oh, because you have sinned against God, that's why you suffer." And Job said, "I've done nothing." But you know what God was doing? And I always said this, if you look at it carefully now, Job was ignorant of many things. And God wanted to prove to him that I am sovereign. I allow things to happen because I am God. That's why he asked Job, "Really, you want to know what? Do you want knowledge?" And he finally asked Job to stand up. "Be a man and accept what I tell you and see if it's not the truth." The book of Job is the oldest book. Why were you Job? I like that. When I lay the foundation of the world. Do you know, Job, that the world, this earth is round? The book was written more than 400 years ago. I mean 400,000 years ago. Huh? Think about it. Did any, were there scientists to prove that the earth was round? The Bible even tells us, God told Job, do you know that there is a path that the winds of the earth follows? Do you know that there is a path the current of the sea follows? Where did the birds, migratory birds, fly from North America? When winter comes, they have gone down south for something, someplace warm. And how could they fly back? You know about the geese? How many of you know about geese? Geese, these wild geese. You know, wild geese are very strange creatures. Very, very strange bird. If the geese is born, if somebody stole eggs, a dozen eggs, away from the nest of the goose, the mother goose, and put it in the home and let it hatch. The moment that this goosling hatch out, and you are there to see it happen, when the head, they look up, they look at you. You become the mother. Yes. This is the behavior of the goosling. And when you come and feed them, they'll look at you as the mother. When they grow up, when you grow up, they'll follow you. Whatever you want, they'll follow you. Right? And when they grow big, well, when they're small, okay, you keep them in the house for warm and all these things. When they grow big, they have to migrate. Huh? But they don't know how to migrate. Because where's the mother? You are the mother. You have to fly and lead them down south for the summer there. And that's why there was a story, there was a true case that happened in America. You can watch the movie, read about the books. You know? And this is the case of it. They are based on instinct. God has created them like that. Otherwise, this gooseling will be staying in winter and they cannot take the winter, the cold. Unless you're going to heat their room up. Because the instinct must be that they're going to go down, they're going to fly. And when they're, if you show them one way how to get there, you don't have to worry. They'll know how to come back. The instinct is there. They'll come back to where you feed them. You bring them there, if you can show them the path to fly there, just leave them. 6 months later, when there's when the temperature, when the weather changes, they just fly back. They just know. One trip, they know how to go home. Thousands of miles. You see? So that's the way God allows it. So now when we look into the Israel, God says, okay, time now, I'm going to destroy this earth. So he called for Noah. And asked Noah to build an ark. And while Noah was building the ark with his children, it wouldn't take very long. 20, 30, 40 years in those days when you don't have the proper tools. I don't know. And then after it was built, of course, while he was building it, he was preaching on. And I told you that if there's anybody else who helped him, it might have been his father, Lamech. Because Lamech died 5 years before the flood. Or his grandfather, Methuselah, would have helped him too. Huh? But the Bible does not tell us that he preached. But we believe, of course, when he was building, we get all these people coming and laughing, you know, laughing at him. Say, why are you building such a boat for what? A boat on dry land. There is no rain. But he was telling them, God says he's going to destroy the earth. The rain is going to come. Because in those days, there was never any rain. What? Water comes from the heaven above. But the water has come up from the earth up. Huh? That's what the Bible said. The earth was always watered by means. In the morning, you get up, there's always water on the grass. The rain never comes from above. No rain in those days. The people don't believe. Because there was no ocean in those days. Where was the ocean? There was no Indian Ocean, no Pacific Ocean, no Atlantic Ocean. The earth was practically 90% solid earth. And only pockets of water, lakes, rivers everywhere. And all the water was, where was the water? The water was up there in the heavens, surrounding the earth like a canopy. That's why the earth in those days were all even temperature. We don't have four seasons. What if you get a four season? It's when the earth, after the flood, gets tilted. That's why you have a four season. And that's why the earth today has 72% or 70% water. And only a little water up there from the clouds. But one day God is coming back. Christ come back and make this earth straight again. And all the water will go up again. There will be no land called America. There will be no land called Japan. There will be no India. There will be no Europe. There will be no Singapore. Your topography will change back itself again. We have today 7 continents, right? Huh? How do you get 7 continents? In those days before the flood, there was only one solid mass of earth and pockets of water. But when the water came down, it cracks up the earth. When the water seeps into all the cracks, it pushes. You know how heavy water is? So water, water is soft. What you put your hand in a basin of water and flash your face, right? Press a bit harder. See what it hurts. Or take your hand in a swimming pool or in the sea. Slap it real hard. See what it is soft hard. You can slap on the sofa, but try slapping on the water and see what it hurts your hand. There's some people don't understand about the power of water. And some people are using water jet even to cut concrete. And when the water seeps through the earth in the 40 days and 40 nights, 40 and 40 nights, the rain just pound out, pound. And you know when the water pounds on your earth. You know when you got heavy rainfall in Singapore, you know the road all get cracked up too. For 40 days, 40 nights, water came. But the water remains on the earth for almost a year before it starts drying up. It takes more than a year and 17 days, I believe. Huh? Think about it. The water starts slipping, it starts to crack up the earth. That's why they get the continents and forming. And it takes almost 200 years before the continent was formed as what we have today. You understand what happened? That's why we know, how come in Australia you only get a kangaroo? How come you got no kangaroo in Malaysia? Huh? How did the kangaroo get over there? If everything happens, and if already the earth was what it is today, no. The earth was not what it is today in the days of Noah before the rain came. But when it started to crack, the animals start to move. And when they start to move, and wherever they have gone, the bite of the land is cracked up and split. It became an island by itself. That's what happened. That's why, and yet you go to National Geography, go look at all these scientific discovery, geologists, they couldn't tell you the truth. And now people think that the earth was what it was today, and all this continent exists, no? But there are some that know that the earth was one piece, but they don't even understand what is Pangaea. They don't even understand that there was no ocean in those days. The Bible tells us there was no sea. You know? When God restores back this earth again, in the future, there will be no sea. Only little pockets of water, like what we call Caspian Sea, which is a big lake. Or the Dead Sea. But not sea as we call it. What we call the Indians. Indian Ocean. Or the Red South China Sea. South China Sea is not a sea, it's an ocean. Huh? So what sea means? A pocket of water, big or small. You know. So, God prepared. Ask Noah to prepare the ark for what's going to happen. And so it was that 8 souls went into the ark with all the animals. The flood came. Now, when they left the ark after more than a year, 8 souls that went in before the flood came, 8 souls came out. Huh? There was no serpent seed. The serpent seed were all destroyed. The purpose of God sending the flood was to destroy these serpent seed people. Do you understand? Huh? The only person who was a serpent seed pure was Noah's wife. But Noah's wife didn't give birth anymore. Huh? The only she and Noah had only Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so in the blood of Shem, Ham, and Japheth was the blood of Noah and his wife. So what happened? The two lives become so mixed in one flesh. So in your blood, in my blood today, we have the serpent time nature. That's why Bible says in sin were we born. I mean, you know, in sin were we born. We are all born in sin. You don't have to tell a child to lie, they know how to lie. Huh? You know that child know how to lie. You don't have to teach them how to lie, they lie. Yes. It's very amazing, huh? You know. Yes. They don't even take things that don't belong to them too. If they want to, they like it, they're covetous, they'll take it. And you know why the Bible tells us how that we must raise up a child in the fear of God. You see? It's a very natural thing because in our blood there is a serpentine nature. The nature that came from the serpent, which the devil used to infiltrate and mix the spirit of his into the spirit of man that God gave. That's what Paul talks about, the two nature. We have two nature. Even now we are Christian. Even Paul said, the thing I should do, I do not. The thing that I should not do, I want to do it. Right? Yes, sure. You see? But now I guess that I believe that the more that we have the Word of God with us, we become very conscious of the Spirit of God. Huh? If you see a wallet somewhere out there in the path that you're walking, and wow, you open up and see, hey, there are 10 big $1,000 bills. $10,000, you know. What would you do? What would you do, man? Look around. Nobody here? Okay, take the 10 notes out, put in a pocket and throw the wallet on the floor again. Or is that what you do? No. And I believe the first thing you do is to open up the wallet, look for the identity card. Won't you do that? Yes, sure. If what if there's no identity card, nothing to identify? What then? Which is kind of like, but actually that is likely. Would you not hang around there for a while and hopefully that poor guy comes back? Yeah. Remember that's what my son did when he went to Japan. He saw this, how many thousand yen was flying around in the temple area they were visiting. He collected them and, you know, somebody lost it, you know, and just stand up for a while. Stood there for a while, here came an elderly man, huh? And he was looking for it, and then you ask him, did you lose some money? He said, yeah, and exactly he mentioned how much did he collect. And the man was grateful, you know, and bought him a little gift. And I think that is, that's what we all, I mean, I guess we all Christians would have this. You know. But for God's sake, don't take the 10,000 and go to the police station. The police will keep it for themselves. I can tell because there's no record. Just stay there for a while, hopefully, you know, you see. And hopefully that the person will come back, because the person will come back. He will definitely back straight away. You know, he had been walking to look for it. And hopefully, and now, if you see a man coming, you know, in the very agitated one, you know, he's looking for his money. You know. So it's the spirit that we have today. If it wasn't, I can say it was something. I told you my story about what I did to the man who sell ice kacang. You know, I really, sometimes when I think of it, I repented. You know, I did what I should have been doing when I was a kid. You covetous, you love the ice cream. I mean, the ice cream, but you don't have the money. The shred, I was so tasty. And I cheated the man. When I came to know Christ, I cried. I was looking for him, but he passed away. You know, we want to do the right thing, and I believe that we should be doing. So now when, after the ark, you know, the flood was over, they came out from the ark. You had eight of them. Noah, Mrs. Noah, and their three sons, and their wives. Now we know that Noah and his wife gave no birth to no more children. And there was no serpent seed in the ark. Like someone told Barak Osa, many years ago, and I had a good laugh. He went over there to Philippines, to Butuan City, and told Brother Osa, I said, Brother Osa, I would like to visit the church and preach for you. Brother Osa said, come sit down and let's discuss first. I always told Brother Osa, before anybody put him to the pulpit to preach, sit with him and ask him some questions. Because you don't want to put some crazy preacher will tell you all that nonsense. And the man said, oh yeah, but I know Brother Gunn, you know, and this and that. Brother Osa said, that's okay, you know Brother Gunn, but let's talk. And Brother Osa put some question to him, and somehow this question about the supremacy came up. And the man told him, the preacher told him, he said, you know, there are serpent seed today on this earth. Pure serpent seed on this earth. Brother said, no. No more. Every man and woman that's on this earth came from the three sons of Noah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We are all mixed already. The serpent time nature is in us. But the man said, no, there are a group of pure serpent people. Brother asked, how did it come about? And he said, there is at least one woman. Maybe just at least one of them that got pregnant by a serpent man before she entered into the ark. And Barak asked him then, what happened then? He said, well, you know, it takes 9 months for the child to be born. You know. And so, okay, the child was born. Yeah, the child was born. Was in the ark. Who feed the poor child? Huh? Did Mrs. Noah give birth to that serpent seed? Or is it the wife of Shem or Ham or Japheth? And how could the family not recognize or know about that there was a serpent seed in the ark? And when the land dries up, after more than a year, the Bible said 8 souls came up. The Bible said 8 souls. So where then is the serpent seed? Oh, it was there. You know, no matter what, they argue over it. And some said, the gestation period is not necessarily 9 months. For the serpent seed, it may be more than a year. You know, how convenient. And this thing continued and all this on. But my brother and sister, I tell you this, the Bible is the only book in the world that tells you where you come from, where you are heading. The Bible tells you why the earth was like this. Why the world today has all these sorrows. The Bible tells you, give you the answer. And at the end of the book of the Holy Bible, it tells you what will become in the future. When all this, God will come and abolish all the wars. Huh? And all sorrows and pain will be gotten away. That's coming. Because now we are heading into the place where the sins of men have hit upon themselves so high that God is just like saying that the days of Noah, I'm going to destroy this earth. And like he said before to Noah, I will no longer judge the world with water. I will judge the world with fire. And this is what we are going to see. The Bible talks about the powers of the heaven will be shaken. And even he gives us the word, you know, the power is, it gives us from the Greek word, uranus. Uranium. You know what uranium is used for? To make bombs. And we'll be surprised to see that there will be a lot of bombs thrown all over the earth. There will be a war that will even practically destroy the whole earth. But God says, I'm going to stop it. I'm going to cut it short. So that there will be a people saved. You know, so we see all this now, that the two lines are so mixed. There's no more serpent seed on this earth, except the religious serpent seed. People who go against God's word, like it was in the days before the flood. The religious Canaanite people, instead of worshiping the one true God, they turn to make God out of a piece of wood or out of a stone and invoke the name of God in that stone and say, this is God. That's what we have today in the world today. People worshipping images. They're worshipping the monkey, they're worshipping the cow, they're worshipping the snakes even. Like in the days of the Egyptian, they worship the scarab, the fox. Yeah, as Paul said, mankind had become so wicked in their own imagination, instead of worshipping the Creator, they worship the creatures that God made. And the world is just heading that way, and it's going to get worse. So I pray that we'll stop here and we'll continue next time and follow the trails and see what happens when he ends up upon the head of the Antichrist. And we know who the Antichrist is. And he will manifest himself soon. And the world will take upon themselves not only just because he is a religious figure, but he is also a political figure. Anybody who follows the Antichrist, take what is the mark upon their forehead, upon their forearm. The number 666, the number of a man. And that number is not just, it's not a literal number, the stamp on your forehead or the stamp on your forearm. It's that you believe and do what the man tell you to do, what the Antichrist teach and taught. Huh? And you follow the Antichrist. And that's what people are doing in the churches today. Taking the mark of the Antichrist upon themselves and not knowing that they are doing just that. But also on the other hand, the nation of the world will be controlled by numbers. And today you all know what it is going on in the world today with technology. Right? You go to a hospital today, if you've been to one hospital, and next time you go to another hospital, the record is there in the computer. Right. You got your ID card, everything now is scanned with one number. Everything. The day comes when RFID will be used. And you can't run away. All your number. That is all. Why do you think that America is going through all this searching, all this? Why do you think that Snowden exposed all these things? Because the government are looking at your data. Every time I make a phone call, every time you send an email, they are spying on you. That's how powerful their technology is. We don't know much about it yet because they are operating so deep into it that you don't even know. You think you are safe. You know, because the world, as the Bible said, do not belong to us. The world belongs to Satan. This world is not God's. The earth belongs to God. But the world belongs to Satan. And he is in charge of all these things. He manipulates through man, manipulates through system, and hold the people under bondage. Bring about all this crazy suffering in the world, the killing, the technology that will destroy people, and so on and so forth. So may God help every one of us. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, O Lord. Thank you for your mercy. We know, Lord, in this life we live, we are born into this world crying to be helped, to be fed. And then we grow up going to school, we learn. And when we get a little older, we find a job. And after that, we get married and have children, perhaps. And after that, we live a life, hopefully, that we have a pleasant life without suffering. Live to a good old age, and then we die, and that's it. That's the end of our story. But what is the purpose of life, Lord? What is life? If life is not something that you give, that man should know you and know your presence and know your reality, then life has no meaning. Because, Lord, we are born to this world to work, to have children, and then to die. But we ask of your grace, Father, that you show yourself to each and every one of us clearly, Lord. And especially, Lord, from day to day as we understand your word and that, Lord, the reality of truth may hit us. May hit home, O Father, that there is a mighty God. There is the one singularity, the scientist could only call it. But it is out of this one singularity, Lord, that the heaven and earth were created. And to us, Father, you know, you reveal yourself to us as the one who brought about all these things. And you are a spirit, and they that worship you, Father, must worship you in spirit and in truth. Therefore, Father, guide us, O Lord, in this life. Help us to appreciate life, Father. Even though the world is in a crazy state, and men fearing for fear what is to come. But as your children, Lord, you have taught us how to live, how to enjoy life, the thing that you have created naturally for us, the food. But of all things, Father, though you have taught us how to live, teach us, Father, how to die. For Lord, only in death did we find life. Because in the death of Jesus Christ is where life was given 2,000 years ago. And we are so thankful for Him, Father, for Jesus to come and say that unless a grain of wheat dies, it will not bring forth much fruits. And we are thankful, Lord, that He died for us. And we are the fruit that He bare for you. We thank you, therefore, Father, for all your love and mercy to us, O Lord. Show grace, more grace, to all those who need it, Father. We ask for your blessing today, now, in Jesus' name. Amen.